You're listening to Best Friends Catching Up, the Mark and Joe Show.
To get a driver, do you have to go into the camera for that?
No. Like in the computer?
Yeah, man.
Are you saying the files are in? Can be caused by a number of different factors, including outdated or missing drivers, a corrupted or damaged camera software, physical damage to the camera. Okay, you know what? Man, I stepped on my computer the other day. I haven't tried using the camera. Hardware conflicts. Dude, I actually think I stepped on it.
Yeah, you probably did, man. You probably stepped on your camera.
Oh, my God.
Joe, give the guests a little bit of just a quick rundown on how we just troubleshooted that.
Okay. I'm going to give you guys a synopsis. So this is episode 51 or 2?
Or 2, maybe. Two,
50.
Maybe.
We're in the low 50s. It's an incredible milestone. We hop on the call. Everything's going to be great. I am getting ready. For once, I'm actually like getting ready 5 minutes before our agreed meeting time. And I try to open up Skype. I'm troubleshooting everything. And the camera won't come on. And it's giving me an error message that reads, this camera doesn't exist. So I'm like, well, that's weird. So I'm looking up fixes. I'm Googling stuff. I'm checking the drivers. Working.
Yeah, you're just saying wild stuff. I thought you were on like forums and stuff like that.
Dude, was on forums. I showed a picture of a guy at my feet for IT tips. But I'm on this other blog. I was like trying to fix it, and they're like, there's four possible issues. It's either your antivirus, which it's not. You didn't enable your camera, which it's enabled. A software issue, the drivers. I already checked. My drivers are up to date, bro.
But the
fourth option is like physical damage to the camera. And then it hits me. I was kind of in like a stupor the other night. I woke up and I stepped on my computer. You know when you're like about to roll your ankle and you just instantly remove all weight from the foot?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I did that very effectively.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh my God, I saved it. I opened up my computer. It's all good. But I'm like, wow, I really stepped on that. So I think I crushed the camera.
Dude, that's awesome, dude. Yeah, everyone stepped on their computer at least once in their life.
Haven't you like...
Easy.
do tell, Mark.
Everyone has damaged their computer in one way or another. There's a variety of ways to do it.
Mark has damaged his computer in ways that I don't think we're at liberty to discuss, but let's just say it's hard to even fathom. But didn't you? Didn't a guy try to steal your computer?
Oh, dude, that was wild. Dude, I haven't thought about that story in so long.
Pray tell.
Oh my God. Okay. That's great. So it was homecoming in my last year of university. It was probably like 1 in the morning, and I was just, you know, end of homecoming, you know, end of the night. I was just laying on my bed, ground floor room, and my girlfriend at the time, Tessa, she was like sitting on the bed. And this dude just walked into my room, and she just walked in, and she looked at him and was like, hey, and she said instantly that she like felt something was up, like something was weird. She was like, hey, like, do you know Mark? And the guy just looked at her, didn't say anything, and then just grabbed my laptop and then just bolted right out of the room, out the back door. And as soon as he did that, Tessa was like, she's like, Mark, laptop. And I just like a zombie just like, like summoned from the bed. I'm pretty sure my shoes were already on. And
how did you even know like really what was going on? If I was like passed out in my bed and someone just screamed, Joe, laptop, like I wouldn't be like, okay, I need to chase a guy.
I don't know. I think I just barely like saw this fucking dude just bolting out of my room with a lab, like with my laptop. And my room was so close to like the back door of 301 Earl that he was outside in 1 second. Like he was outside.
You were basically living in like a breezeway or something.
It kind of was. It was like a sketchy little addition. And yeah, it was a breezeway, bro. It got so cold in the winter.
Completely disconnected from the heating or air conditioning of the house. It was just like a
It was like
exterior walls of the house.
It was kind of like those portable school classrooms. That's kind of what it was like. It was akin to one of those. And this guy was he was outside in a second, but luckily I got outside just in time that I looked up the laneway and I saw that he turned right and it was pouring rain. Nighttime Kingston. I remember this very vividly. I saw that he turned right and I just started booking it and I was full sprint, turned right, saw him and I was like, okay, I've got eyes on this guy. And I didn't say a word and I just slowly was gaining on him. Oh. You know, I was in my prime.
Dude, you were fast too.
I was fast. That
was terrifying.
I was usually like second or third on the Queen's like 40-yard dash or whatever.
Let it be known, Mark was fast of like a group of very good athletes. Mark was fast.
So I was just
imagine he's just like, what the fuck?
No, but
who
dude,
is
he didn't
this
know.
Bionic guy who's like catching me so fast?
He thought he was kind of like in the clear. I think he'd shoulder checked and I was like 30 meters away from him or something. And then he shoulder checked again and I was right behind him. And I didn't say a word. And as soon as he shoulder checked and I was right behind him, he kind of like slid the laptop along the pavement. He didn't like just fucking huck it. He gently slid it closed. And it was pouring rain and I just was like, all right. And I just picked up the laptop and was like, okay, great. I still have this laptop. Yeah, I think I put it under my shirt and just ran home. I was like, that was crazy. And I think there were people still partying in my house. Like, I think the party was still going on.
Yeah.
I was like, you won't guess what just happened. Dude, it's probably from Laurier. That was the same night I got punched in the face. Because there was like a fight in my living room. There was like a fight in my living room or something. And I tried to like break it up and someone just clocked me in the face.
It was
all right. Anyways, yeah, that was a good, wow, that was fun. I'm going to tell that story at dinner tonight here at Caitlin's house. That's a doozy.
Dude, it reminds me of when I was running down the street with that pizza.
Oh, God.
And how I got the pizza is between me and the baby Jesus.
Yeah, but just like, yeah.
And that old guy was like chasing me.
Yeah, there's a variety of ways to screw your computer up. There's also a variety of ways to get pizza from Pizza Pizza on Princess Street.
There's a variety of ways to get chased down the street. I was running and this old guy was chasing me and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this guy is like a 60. Like, he's catching me. Like, I knew I wasn't that fast, but like, come on, man. Okay, so in my mind, I'm like, okay, you need to go endurance mode. Like, just settle into that, like, 85%. And just
hold it.
Like, I'll hold it for 5 fucking minutes. I don't give a shit. And then, but I'm like, okay, you're still catching me. So then I look behind, and it's you. It was you who's chasing.
Yeah, because I was kind of, like, hiding. It was, the timing of it was crazy, man. I'll never forget. I just saw you walking down the street, just you and this Pizza Pizza employee just like walking. I was like, okay, I'm going to kind of hide in the alleyway here or whatever. And I was hiding in the alleyway. And then right as you got to like where I was hiding in the alleyway, you said, I hope you're ready to run. And I thought you were talking to me. But you were
talking to him,
the pizza guy, and I was like, oh shit. And I just kind of bolted out of the alleyway behind you. And I kind of like joined you in the running of the bulls, so to speak.
Dude, man, so many days just like traversing the streets, like that little network of 4 blocks by 4 blocks, kind of like, what was like it that. Boundaried by?
Dude, what was that? What was that diagonal street that went behind the Brooklyn right to the beer store?
Oh my god.
That one was a street. That was kind of like the main line. That was like the main line design then.
Actually, I wanna stay on this topic, but like folks, you know what you're listening to? You Damn bastards. You yeah. salty crooks.
You punky patriots.
You Parisian pastries. You know what you're freaking listening to? You're listening to Best Friends Catching Up. The Mark and Mark. Joe Show.
That Mark.
And I'm freaking Joe. Let's go. Driving me home at 7 a.m. Hand in mind like a heaven sent him. Moving and shaking like the Ramblers do. After getting through the days I never thought I'd get through. You bring heaven down to me, coursing through my blood as I breathe. I bet the angels are jealous of a girl I know. She takes my stain and makes me white as snow.
White as snow. What did you want to say?
I wanted to just quickly, like, let's just establish what is the actual student ghetto, like, bound? The the graph pub. Approaches the boundary and it like you'll never actually touch it.
The asymptote.
Yeah. Yes, dude. What is the asymptote?
The asymptote of the it's Earl Street. On the south. It's Princess Earl on the south, and I think on one side it's that Princess Park or whatever. What is that park called? Oh, like out by like out by BioSci maybe.
Oh, City Park.
Yeah, and then I think maybe the other side is Albert.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think about that?
Albert's definitely it.
Boom.
Definitely not past Albert.
Yeah, we just got it.
Like, think all the times walking those streets.
Mm.
It's like a little tapestry. If you could chart your trajectory and path through those streets, like, you probably knit, like, 80,000 quilts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Especially... Yeah, back then it was very chill, you know, like maybe you had a BlackBerry in fourth year and you were just, maybe you lost it for 2 weeks. It was okay.
Did you have a BlackBerry?
Yeah, dude, I did. And I remember I went to my brother's wedding in fourth year.
In fourth year of the university, you had a BlackBerry? I don't remember that.
Dude, I did, man, because two reasons. One, I remember my mom drove me back from my brother's wedding and I left it in her car by accident. So I didn't have a phone for the first 2 weeks of school, which was kind of sick. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. And the second reason being, my dad came to me for some insider investor knowledge back in high school. And let's just say that's right when BBM was all the rage. And he was like, Mark, Apple or BBM? Or he was like, Apple or BlackBerry?
That's not really like, insider. It's like asking your son if he likes a BlackBerry better.
Yeah, but dude, I
pretty outsider.
I let him astray.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, dude, it was great. It was great. Fair, I think BBM was the tits.
It was popping off. I remember you could play that brick game on all there. Yeah, I never actually had one. I was like, come on, people, I want one.
Yeah,
everyone was because iMessage wasn't a thing.
Dude, yeah, like BBM was like... Dude.
BlackBerry Messenger was such like an edge. You could just message your boys like instantly and have no cost. And remember, I remember having a plan. Like I had a set amount of texts on my plan. Yeah. I had like 1,000 messages a month.
Dude, if you had BBM, you were 50% more likely to get laid.
Do you really think that's the ratio? There was no iPhone. The alternative of... BBM was like a fucking flip phone. You're doing T9 predictive.
Yeah, you're T9 predictive.
Although, like, some people got pretty filthy at T9 predictive.
Yeah,
they were predicting the predictions. It was fucking crazy.
Ooh, dude, you know, speaking of predicting predictions, I played a card game last night. Have you ever played this card game called Wizard?
No.
Dude, it's really fun. You take a normal deck of cards, but then you add 4 wizards and 4 jokers. I don't know. I guess you just buy this supplementary deck. And then I think you can play with as many as you can play with as many as 6 people. But last night we were 4. And it's very fun. It's like you have to win a certain amount of tricks. And you get dealt one card, and then the next round you get dealt 2 cards, and then the next round you get 3 cards. And then at the end, you've got like 14 cards in your hand, and you see your hand and you have to guess how many tricks you're gonna win
And if you nail it, you get like that number of points plus a certain amount. And if you miss it, then you get beaned and you lose points. It's really fun.
Dude, that sounds fun. What do the wizards look like? Are they in the style of cards? Like, are they double-sided?
No, because they have to be. Oh, I guess you can't just get a pack of these and just slice.
I'm like, you just go buy four wizards at the.
No, no, because then you would know. Then you would know who's got a wizard. I guess you have to get a wizard deck. Yeah, no. Now that I'm remembering it, there were all the cards were the same. It was all wizard cards. Just yeah,
draw a few wizards on some cue cards and
yeah. Slide dude, I led pretty strong, but then Caitlin's dad Dave came in hot at the end and won. It's his home game. Yeah, in his house. He's a big card guy.
I kind of miss cards. Are fun. I never really play cards anymore, but
yeah. What are you going to do, really?
We played cards in France. Mark and I were just in France, and Mark was in France for a lot longer.
Yeah. What cards did we play?
We played on the train. Remember, you got absolutely wrecked.
Oh, yeah. What is that game called? Like Champion the Commander or something?
I don't know. It was a South African game.
Yeah, yeah.
It was for the intellectual. Mark didn't do very well. But
oh, come on. me, Joseph, I, Marnus, and Nicole were in France for the Rugby World Cup.
Was an unreal trip. And I'm really glad. Fun, eh? That was so fun. And like, I know you guys had an enjoyable time, like, with Nikki there, but you just can't even fathom, like, how nice that is for me to be there with you guys and my wife.
My wife.
I don't know, just, like, the fusion of all the most important parts of my life all coming together into, like, a super fun thing. So, yeah, it's freaking epic.
Yeah, I can imagine that was pretty sweet. Dude, Nikki's dope, too. Like, as soon as it was talked about that, like, she was going to potentially and probably come, I was like, yeah, absolutely. Nikki's
pretty. It's pretty plug and play with her.
She's plug and play.
She's down to plug and she's down to play.
Some of Nikki's highlights of the trip were when she wanted to get those, what are those called? Those
macaron?
No, she wanted the
chicharron.
No.
Cannoli.
Cannoli. And the other highlight of the trip, and it's actually an anti-highlight, was when she ordered that fish soup and Nice. I wouldn't serve that to my worst enemy, man. That thing was nasty.
That restaurant in Nice was like such a roller coaster of emotion. They like could simultaneously wow you or simultaneously just basically pull your pants down and slap you right in the cock. Like, it was just such so fucked. Like, we went into this being like, this waiter is incredible. Look at the way he moves. I'm Marnus 10 times. Like, look at the way he's moving from table to table. And we really had a boner for this waiter. And then
he looked like Ratatouille.
Also, Marnus kind of like, I never knew you could just fully, Marnus would be like, hey, I want to try the wine before I buy. But like, he would try like 3 wines.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, this is not the one. Like, it wasn't just for ceremonial. Like, he was really trying. Like, to the point where I'm like, are you going to not even get a wine? This is crazy.
Yeah.
The waiter forgot Nikki's entire entree.
Yeah.
And just had generally kind of like ratty behaviors.
He was a rat, dude. I think he escaped from Marseille, bro. He was a rat. And dude, remember the, dude, he forgot the entree, and then the owner of the restaurant or the manager
pulled him out by his ear.
Pulled him over to the table by the ear. And dude, that guy was a little rat, man. He was such a rat.
You did it again, didn't you,
Marcel? Yeah, man, that guy was wild.
You fucked up the soiree again.
Yo, dude, I thought of like a kind of a funny, I don't know. I think you could turn it into a bit, but it was more of an observation. I'll just tell you about the observation first. I'm in Kelowna right now, and we went to the Kelowna like holiday market or whatever, you know, like just everyone's like selling, you know, their chutneys and their macrame and their and you know
there's maple syrup. Someone selling maple syrup.
There's salted nuts, exactly. So it's very nice, and you can everyone can picture one of those. You know, a lot every city's got one. We were walking around, and obviously there's just free samples everywhere, right? Mm. And I just think that there's something really funny about like the exchange between having a free sample, but like knowing full well like you're probably not.
You're never ever buying it.
Yeah, it's like, oh wow, and then you're like, okay, throw the cup in the garbage. You're like, yeah, we're out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
At Costco, like I might go to Costco and grab a sample. They start telling you about the product. I'm just like, bro.
Yeah.
I don't need you to tell me about like what's in these dumplings.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna eat one and leave.
But at the holiday artisanal market,
it's a little more intimate.
Personal and intimate. Because like it's these people's business, you know, it's their livelihood. But I did buy these sriracha maple glazed almonds that were really nice.
There's a touch of like desperation almost too. Like they're standing at that stall. I think there's something about standing at a stall where you're very, very frequently going to be like in essence rejected. That like people naturally tend to get like they kind of get a little like guarded. They're like, holy fuck, I'm just getting walked by left and right. Like no one wants to read my books.
Oh yeah. Oh dude.
No one wants to buy my macrame. Everyone says they love it, but like I haven't had a single person who's had cash on them apparently.
Yeah, dude, that's actually a sad thing at a farmer's market too. Like the couple vendors just who have like
no business.
And like they're on their phones and they're just you're like, oh man, you're hooped.
So sad.
Yeah.
And this reminds me of I often just think to myself, like, ooh, like something will happen. I'm like, ooh, that would be a really good commercial. Like I feel like I could have had another life where I produce or direct
commercials?
TV commercials.
Dude, I bet you actually could have.
So it made me think of I thought of one for Costco 2 days ago. Even though I don't think Costco ever advertises, it's not really part of their business model, but
No.
So my nephew was like very scared of me. My nephew Seb, he's so cute. He's like he's such a beautiful like young boy.
Dude, and you kind of look like you look a little bit like Eric right now.
I've always looked like Eric.
True. All right. True. Also, wait, okay. before you start the story, and don't forget it. Did you tell people that how we progressed from our camera thing, or did we forget? Did you say that like
I stopped my camera, and then you told your whole story about how you chased the guy down, and then
but how we troubleshooted how we're actually looking at each other right now.
Oh yeah, so we did actually figure out a workaround. Right now I have Skype open. I'm watching Mark on Skype. I'm also somehow I'm just too scared to touch anything for some reason. It's like picture in picture, but I think normally where I'd be able to see myself, it's another video of him. I've got two on my computer screen, but then we also FaceTime each other and just muted both the FaceTimes. So like I'm viewing him on my phone, but I have it propped up because I want him to be able to see me. So now I can see him three times. It's kind of nice. It's like I'm talking to an audience.
It's
moving in perfect synchronicity. And the FaceTime and the Skype are perfectly synced, which is
That's actually crazy. That's nuts. Yeah. Dude, that you know what's nuts. Actually a little sketch right now is that my computer does like to die pretty quick. But I'm sorry, we're at 55% right now. We're good.
I want to tell you about my Costco commercial.
Yeah, sorry.
I think at this point it's like a little bit built up. I don't really don't expect some like insane commercial here, folks. But it's something that happened recently, and this is the kind of commercials I think of.
Charging.
So my nephew Seb, up until he was like a year and a half, was pretty scared of me. Like wouldn't let me hold him. Just, you know, and I didn't like it, obviously. But my brother said right now he's loving me. He's like, Uncle Joe. So it's a real nice turnaround. But my brother said offhand, on the weekend I was with him. He said, you want to get him to like a complete stranger, put him in a Costco vest. And I just like that made me think, like, you just start the commercial. Like, it's kind of like actors playing my role. You start the commercial. There's like the uncle who's like so excited. He brings in like the little clothes for the baby. That's like, I love my uncle. And like, he's so excited to have his nephew, but the nephew's scared of him. He doesn't want anything to do with him. And then the brother, like the dad comes over, my brother, and he comes over. He's like, hey man, like, he'll warm up to you. Like, just, you know, like, it's just going through a phase. I'm like, I know, man, like, fucking, you're all bummed about it. And then the dad's later, it cuts to the dad. He's shopping at Costco. And the kid just is like running up to all the people with the little food samples. And he's just loving it. He's having a great time. And then boom, like a light bulb moment for the dad. He's like, and he instantly calls me. He's like, bro, come over. I got an idea. And so I get in my car. I drive over there. I knock on the door. He opens the door. He's holding a Costco vest. He's like, bro, put this on. I put on the vest. My nephew comes over. And it just cuts to a montage of like us playing in the park. I'm swinging him around. I'm pushing him on the swing. Like, he loves me. And I got this Costco vest. And then it just cuts out and it goes, Costco, bringing families together.
That's
my commercial. Nice. It's pretty random.
Is the reason the kid loves the Costco vest people because they always have food?
Yeah, they're always giving them shit. And like,
yeah.
I think you can spin it like people at Costco, like the employees at Costco are always like friendly and cheerful. And like,
yeah.
He does out. Genuinely love Costco. So,
that's nice. Oh, that's lovely. That's authentic, dude. That is El Authentico. Dude, how'd your little marathon go? Also, are we supposed to bring a meal onto this podcast at some point?
I assumed he couldn't come on or something. I was like, you didn't say anything about it.
Well, my phone is not.
I assume he couldn't make it.
Do you have your phone? Oh, yeah, you do. You're staring at it.
Yeah.
I don't have my phone on me, so maybe you could just text him or something like that.
I'll text him.
Okay.
But, as I'm doing that, I think I can handle telling you about my marathon. So the first 28K was like dream tier, was going incredible. I kind of knew deep down, I'm like, is this sustainable? But I got in the group with like the 3 hour, 20 minute pace bunny. And I was just vibing and it felt so good.
Dude, a pace bunny kind of sounds sexual.
I know, eh? He's wearing little ears. They're wearing little ears. God. And it has their time, the time you want to run on it. And he's got this little like placard that's like 3 hour 20 pacer. And he's got his every time of every kilometer on the back of it that he's got to hit.
What if he cramps up?
Yeah, honestly, I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah.
But so the first 28K, I was averaging 4:30 kilometers for the first 28. And then... probably a little bit too much hubris on that one because kilometer 29, right quad, full cramp. Morning after, hungover, laying in bed, just full quad lock.
Just yeeted.
Then 10 seconds later, left leg, full quad, double quad. I didn't bend at the knees for 10 minutes, bro. I was scarecrowing down the road. It was so bad that I was looking up like a beer store or like a pub or something that was along the way. Cause I'm like, I just need to drink a beer right now. I need to loosen my muscles. Like, I'll stop for 5 minutes, chug a pint, get back on the course.
Dude, that's like, beauty as hell.
This is what I need. Like, I'm willing to go off course, but I couldn't find one. And then I was like, this is fucked. I called the... So I would try and run. Like, I'm like, man, I feel good. Like, mentally, I felt good. Cardiovascular, like, fatigue-wise, I'm like, I'm not even that tired. I feel good. But the quads went fucked. And it was so bad and so painful. For, like, the first 2 kilometers that it happened, it was so painful, man.
Dude.
And so I called my mom. Because I just needed... No, seriously, I called her. Because I was listening to music. It's like, fuck this music. Too upbeat and I'm in a dark place. And I called my mom. I'm like, I just need to distract myself. I need to just talk to someone. And it worked, man. I talked to her for like 10 minutes as I was just walking. I'd be like, okay, mom, I'm going to try and run again. Yeah. She's like, okay. And then 10 seconds later, I was like, didn't work, mom. Didn't work.
It reminds me of like Will Ferrell and Austin Powers. And he's like, I think my legs are broken.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, let me just stand and, oh, they're definitely broken.
Dude, so many people too. My bib had my, like, everyone's bib has their name on it.
Yeah.
So my bib's like the number. And then like in pretty big font, it says Joe right below it.
Yeah.
So I was in a pretty good pace group. It's like there wasn't that many people who were like full on just like, I need dogging to walk. I'm not like in this, like the people who are doing the marathon, like 5 hours. It's like half the people are freaking walking. Like there was barely no one else was walking in the grouping that I was at. So a lot of people were really honing in on me. Like the spectators were like,
oh,
they're like, okay, we got one guy who's walking here. Like, let's, and they're like, up, you can do it, Joe. Like, just try running. I'm like, I know, I tried. But I was in general pretty positive. I was asking people, like, do you have a beer? And it got so bad, like with the cramping, that this guy in front of me, he passes me because I'm walking. He's drinking this big red Gatorade. Like, I don't know where he got it from. He takes like one fucking sip out of this thing and he just throws it on the ground.
Oh.
And it's like spilling all over the ground. And I'm just like, dude, I need that Gatorade. And I'm like, I thought of like picking it up and just,
you should have.
I know I should have, but I just, I don't know. By the time I was there, it was like only a quarter full. So much of it had spilled. I was like, this is depraved. When am I going to drink like the bottom 1/5 of this guy's Gatorade off the ground?
Maybe, yeah, maybe in like the 40th kilometer, but not the 29.
So eventually I did have to walk off and on and off for 4 or 5K. And then I was able to run for like 5-6K. And then I cramped again the last kilometer, but I just kind of gutted it out and I just ran. I ran through a cramp in the last like 300 meters. So I was like, fuck this. I'm not walking across the finish line. But I still, man, all that being said, with like legit walking 5 kilometers, I still finished in 3 hours 49.
Good job.
That's sick. It was still a 5:25 per kilometer for the whole marathon. It's 20 minutes slower than I did last year, but in a way, it's kind of like I'm motivated to do another one now. I just can't end like this. So I signed up for Chicago next year.
Oh, you signed up for Chicago.
Dude, it's like a roulette. Like, you're not guaranteed entry because it's so popular. It's a lottery. I find out in a month from now.
Dude, that's sick. Good for you, man. I like that. Dude, keep doing that. Don't retire. Just don't prematurely retire, you know?
I think running's kind of my thing. I'm kind of good at it.
Ox. Dude, have you ever thought about doing triathlons or anything like that?
I did one. And last year, I did the Kingston Long Course. It's a 1/3 of an Ironman. And both my legs cramped.
Dude, I think you need to see a cramp specialist.
I think I need to do something maybe a little bit differently.
Oh, dude, man, I just released my – I wish I could teach everyone how to release their, like, SI joints like I can, man. It's so fucking nice. Dude, I was just thinking, Joe, some of our listeners might wonder what the hell I'm even doing in Kelowna.
What are you? Folks,
I've got to
go and there study. To play Wizards.
I'm there to play Wizards with my billets.
Folks, what are you doing in Kelowna, Mark?
Folks, I'm going steady. I've got a girlfriend. Her name's Caitlin.
That's very nice.
She's a lovely gal. Her family's really nice too. I feel like I met them before coming here, and I just felt like right at home immediately. It's a very loving household.
That's a really big
dude. It's huge.
It's huge because realistically, like, if everything goes to went well,
your
family.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. No, and
it's like it's if not, you don't it's like them, that's a pretty freaking huge deterrent.
Yeah, right. I know. Dude, wow, you sound so much like Seth Rogen right now. That was funny. And I don't know. The older you get, like, you kind of do think like that. Like, it's not crazy to Not crazy to think along those lines.
I don't think it's crazy
when you're dating at this age. Oh, yeah, I turned 32.
At any age. I don't think it's crazy to, like, foresee that. Because no one's going into a relationship being like, yeah, this will last about a year and a half and then we'll break up. Like, no one's going into it with that mentality. And if you are, then that's
when you're younger. When you're younger, I don't know. When you're,
I think you're when you're younger, you're more just saying like it's less likely to work out. But you're not like fully have decided this is definitely not gonna work out. Like, I don't know. There's certain parts of points where you're probably like, wow, this is it. This is incredible.
Yeah. I agree with you. I'll probably be back here for the holidays, and then she's gonna come live in Whistler for a couple months this winter before she moves back to Vancouver.
So who's funnier?
Which I'm really excited about. Who's funnier?
Yeah.
She is a pretty funny, but
it's you.
It has to be me.
She did say something pretty funny. Should have seen Mark's face. He was just like mulling over how to say that he's funnier, like without just shit talking Caitlin.
She did say something pretty funny today, though, unprompted. Like, we're all just in the living room, and she goes, "Hey," her parents' names are Dave and Shelley. And she just goes, Hey, Dad, guess what? He goes, "What?" And she goes, Mark thinks mom's crazy too. Like, I'm unprompted. It was it was pretty like playful and funny.
Dude, that's my kind of humor. Just kind of like subtly fucking with people.
Yeah, it was pretty jokes, man. Yeah.
My dad's like an ultra, like he loves like recycling and in composting and stuff. But Brantford, where my parents live,
they don't have a green bin.
They just got one this year. They haven't been collecting food waste in Brantford until 2023. It's a fucking disgrace.
Dude, Jesus, you live in a third world country.
Honestly, Brantford is the goddamn cesspool. It makes me sick.
Of course, home of Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, it's nice for an absolute degenerate, I guess. But the
who's the second most famous person from Brantford?
The second most famous? I don't think he's from Brantford, but the big claim to fame is that Alexander Graham Bell made his first phone call from Brantford. It's the telephone city.
That's cool, actually.
What brought him to Brantford, nobody knows. But
it's probably the fucking sanitation department.
Yeah. They didn't they shipped their food waste out to other towns. It was kind of nice. But my dad, we've been bothering my dad for years that he doesn't have a green bin. Like, he brings his compost to a local farm. But he finally got a green bin. So this is a big moment for him. But he's got this tiny, tiny, it's like a fucking pencil case that he's putting his food waste in. So me and my aunt this weekend when we were over there, we were just giving him shit. We're like, hey, you know, you can get a bigger bin. Like, I know you haven't been green binning for a while, but you know, you can get a bigger bin. And there's no bag in it. He's just putting it in there. Like,
he's just
raw dogging the bin, and then he's like cleaning it out. Like, you know, they make bags for that bin.
That compost.
He's trying to tell us he has a system. I don't know. Where the fuck was I going with this, man? I got sidetracked on this fucking compost story.
Bro, I don't know. I sidetracked you with Alexander Graham Bell.
No, that was
dude. What's the pattern, dude? Is the pattern of your is the pattern of your wallpaper the same thing that Nikki's grandpa used to do for work?
Yeah, terrazzo.
Tell us a terrazzo.
So he used to do terrazzo. You probably see it in like a mall or like a hospital or like an old school gym or something. It's basically like a kind of like a tile floor. But instead of laying individual tiles, what they do is they set a bunch of stones, colored stones, into, they set them and then they pour like a white mortar type thing, like a grout in between. And then they grind the stones and the mortar like to like a glass finish. So you have all these colored stones set typically in like a white, and it look like, picture just that, I don't know, like in an airport or something.
But yeah, airports are good, is good. Or like maybe even in the White House they have a bit.
Dude, think of the dust.
Dude,
they're just like grinding stones like half an inch.
Oh. Dude,
over huge areas.
Dude, have you ever seen those big tampers?
Yeah.
Those big gas-powered tampers? Those things are sick.
I've used them.
Why?
They're actually, like, surprisingly, like, light.
Yeah.
Like, they're obviously not light. Like, the you can get, like, no. 750,000. You can get a 1,000-pound tamper.
But once it's moving,
at the oscillation of it is like when you push forward on the handle, it wants it to move forward, and when you pull back on the handle, it wants it to move back. So as long as you kind of keep it on level ground and you don't let it get kind of cattywampus, then I thought you'd like that.
I do. Yeah, that's funny. That's close to cattywampus.
What's a Caitlin-ism?
Dude, literally cattywampus. That's why I laughed. Like, just
really?
Now. Yeah, that's a word that she kind of just randomly says all the time.
Did I already know that? I don't think I already knew that. I don't
think you did, bro. Did you say catty?
What a fucking coincidence.
Yeah, bro. That's why I kind of just like laugh. That's interesting.
Nikki has had so many different ones over the years. When we first started dating, she would, instead of texting OMG, she would text OMG. SH, like, oh my gosh.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
But I would always read it in my head as OMG-sh. And so that it kind of morphed that I used to say that she said OMG-sh.
Oh, nice.
And lately, though, she's been saying anywho. She's like, anywho.
Yeah, like a Brit.
Yeah. And then we kind of realized the other, like, just recently on the drive home that she's been saying I went, and she said but and I went shh. So now I'm gonna try, every time she says it, I'm gonna try and catch her and start inserting some shh.
Oh, dude, that's fun. That's real nice. Dude, speaking of big gas powered equipment, have you ever heard of a Flymo? You never worked at a golf course, did you?
No.
Dude, a Flymo is this lawnmower that, like, it's got this blade like a helicopter, and you fire it up, and once you have it running, the helicopter
lifts you up.
It doesn't lift you up. It's like you hold it like a lawnmower, but like a push lawnmower. Oh. But the spinning of the blade just keeps it at like a height like this big, and it's like for like mowing around like bunkers and stuff where you can't bring a push mower or a whippersnipper. It's sick. It's a good workout.
But you couldn't do a really tight cut. Like, it's for rough.
It's for rough. Yeah, exactly. It's for rough. It's not like a fairway or a greens.
How do you trim the fescues on a golf course?
Bro, I think that's the trimming of fescues sacrilegious, bro.
Dude, is that
you don't trim fescue, man. It's like a fungus.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Dude, what's...
I got a tattoo.
You got a tattoo.
How epic is this tat? Let me show you again.
Show me that fucking tat, my boy.
Oh, it's gonna be hard to.
Dude, Joe, you know that Tremblay shirt?
Yeah, I know it really well.
It's starting to like properly disintegrate.
I feel like that's actually like that's the perfect. I love when a shirt does that.
Oh my god, look at that thing. Folks, I'm just going to describe what I see right now. And it's something I've seen before because Joe made a really nice batch of Vistaprint shirts with this exact same design on it. But folks, it's an eagle flying. And then below the eagle, it just says in beautiful font, Momentum.
Momentum.
And it's right on his tricep and bicep. It's sick.
Joe, that's really dope, man. Are you proud of it and happy?
I'm freaking stoked. I never thought the it's kind of like dumb talking about something that people can't see, but it's super fine line, and I didn't think that was possible, honestly.
Oh,
when I went to the tattoo artist, I was like, if you got to change the lines so they're not so close to each other, she's like, no, that'll be fine.
Oh, dude, yeah, that's like the all. I know so many people, mostly gals, with like hella fine line tattoos and stuff. It's cool. It's
hella
all the
fine line.
It's yeah, damn, yo, girl, you got a hella fine line. You got a hella fine line.
Let me see that line again. That was so fine.
Chef's
what
kiss.
What was your favorite thing you ate in France? Je pense.
dude, it honestly was probably the coq au vin.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say, too.
Yeah, it was the coq au vin, for sure.
So this was such an epic night, folks. I think if we're going to tell you one part of our trip, the time I was there with them, and embody the spirit of Mark and Marnus and, you know, what makes them so incredible to be around, is they wanted to put on this dinner party. So we went to, it was basically our last night, essentially. I think it was essentially our second
I
last
think night. It might have been your second last. No, yo, it was your last night.
But the trip was coming to an end. It was, we had been out to restaurants everywhere. We'd all done all that.
Dude, at all the restaurants we went to, man, with a few exceptions, I was like, man, I could make this better. Like, dude, that risotto was so
shit. Yeah, but that was that restaurant in Nice. That was fast.
Yeah, but still, even dude, even the Italian, like, something, like, the pastas and stuff were good, but, like, I don't know. I was like, yeah, you know what? I can make this a bit better. Remember Nikki's whack-ass pasta she got at that, like, nice place in,
oh, my God.
Finale Ligure.
Yeah, the nice place in Finale was, like, the first place we went to was very good.
Yeah, that place was good. The second place was like, yeah.
Anyways,
talk about the coq au vin, Joseph.
So we go to the boulangerie, we go to the boucherie, we go to the herberie, we go l'épicerie. We go to 7 freaking different food sourcing locations to get the right herbs and the fresh chicken. This chicken looked like no chicken I'd ever seen. Like, it looked like a real bird. It looked like it could really fly some distance.
Yeah. Yeah, you could kind of tell a lot about that chicken from the feet and, like, the kind of punkiness of its life. Yeah.
But Marnus and Mark, and with my sous chef help, we whipped together this coq au vin. And we had just our supplies in our Airbnb, and the pot was kind of like, it had like a plastic handle. I was like, bro, is this oven safe? And we're like, fuck it, we don't know.
Yeah.
And I said a few times, I'm like, I don't think this is oven safe. And these guys were like, it doesn't matter. We're putting it in there. And not only are we putting it in there, we're leaving the apartment for 3 hours while this cooks in the oven.
It's true.
We were in an old stone chateau, though. Wouldn't have burned down.
But actually, no, bro. There was like,
there was so much wood.
The beams were made of wood.
Punky wood, though.
Yeah, punky wood. Dude, that was the best adjective of the whole trip.
We,
punky.
We go out, watch Italy play France at a nice French brasserie. Yeah. And,
we bumped into Trevor Hagelson.
Hagelhorn.
Hagelhorn, and he joined us for dinner the next night.
He bought some Bordeaux blends.
Yeah, and some
He
was wearing that hat.
Some treats. And we also met a nice French woman by the name of Mathilde.
Mm-hmm.
And she joined us, and we had a big dinner party. We had dinner at midnight.
Yeah.
And it was the best meal of the whole thing. We cooked it ourselves.
It was so good, man. We even made a veggie one for Nicole, too, because she is pescatarian. And hers was good. Like, hers was really good. It was arguably maybe a bit better than ours. Like, her broth. I don't know what we did, but.
Really?
Yeah, dude, it was.
They were all good.
Dude, weren't you, like, starting to, like, kind of shred the chicken? And Matilda was like, no.
Yeah.
Nothing a coq au vin.
Yeah, she said, no shred. And I said, We have one bird and we are eight. We must shred. I was like, Mattel, honestly, it was halfway fucking shredded. Like, we're going to serve you a leg and everyone else a little pulled poulet. Come on. Man, I would say in general, because I was conversing with Mattel quite a bit more because of the language barrier.
Of course.
She was definitely very skeptical of the whole, like, affair. Obviously, but even when we were at the apartment, she was like, And then I think when she tried that Coco Van, she's like, whoa. Yeah. These fucking boys are serious.
Yeah.
Taking life seriously.
Yeah. Really seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly so.
We danced. Yeah, we sang, we freestyled.
We massaged each other. It was lovely. Dude, I'll tell you one story from after you left too. I don't know if we told you. I've talked to you since, but this might be a little bit refresher to you, but it'll be a fun one for our guests as well.
I don't know much from after I left.
We when we were in Biarritz, this little surf town on the coast of France, we wanted to kind of host a dinner party, but obviously there's no one there. So first things first, we made a little promo on our Ala Cuisine account and put out a little Instagram sizzle reel, as the kids call it, I'm pretty sure. And then we started buying groceries, and we were still like, okay, like, how are we going to get people to come? And we just started asking random people. Most people would say like, no, or like, I've got plans. Fair response. We pulled this musician's like tab in one of the bakeries, in one of the boulangeries. We pulled her tab and we WhatsApped her, and we're like, yeah, we're having this dinner. Like, you should join us. And she was like, is it a paid gig? We're like, no. No, just come. Like, we'll feed you. Bring your guitar. Anyways,
so legendary.
It's like 6 p.m. I think we told people to come at 7:30, and technically, no, we still don't really have a confirmed guest. And we have to go to the grocery store to pick up a few final provisions. And Marnus is in the pharmacy asking this cute pharmacist to come. And I'm just standing on the street, just waiting to go to the grocery store. And this guy's walking by us with his girlfriend, and he's going, chickity check yourself before you wreck yourself. And he's kind of like rapping to his girlfriend, and they're like, it's very playful, and they're in love. And it was really nice to see. And I was like, oh, that was nice. And then we go in the grocery store, and they're in the grocery store. And I was like, Marnus, like, I think we found a few guests here. And we go up and ask Luca. Well, we didn't know his name was Luca yet, but we're like, hey man, like, we're having this dinner party. If you don't have dinner plans, like, you should come. We're like private chefs from Whistler. It'll be really fun. And he's like, oh, it sounds sweet. Like, he's like, here, this is my girlfriend, Lisa. Like, give her your pitch. So we pitched Lisa, and they were like, yeah, it sounds awesome. So they came.
What a pitch.
Dude, a girl actually from Vancouver, but living in Biarritz, Suzanne, she saw our Instagram video and hit us up on Instagram. She was like, is the room at the dinner? We're like, yeah, there's definitely.
Really? Someone actually saw the sizzle.
Yeah, and then the musician girl came. And she brought a couple friends.
What a mysterious gathering. So yeah. Can we just run it back? So it's you and Marnus visiting Biarritz.
Uh-huh.
A random girl who's from Vancouver who fell for the sizzle.
Uh-huh.
The musician who you called her little tab.
Mm-hmm. Luca and Lisa. Legends.
What about the pharmacist?
She didn't come. Nor did the girl at the espresso store or a few others. But, Luca, we just get to small talking, and then we're sitting on the couch, I think after dinner, maybe before, we start talking about freestyle rapping, and Luca's like, he's like, oh, I love the freestyle rap. He even had his favorite beat. It was Mob Deep Shook Ones Part 2, and I was like, no, you don't, bro. And he's like, yeah, but he's like, I can only really rap in, like, German and, like, a little bit of French. And I was like, what the hell, sick. So we put on beats after dinner, bro, and he was going in. He was going in German. It was so sick. He was sick. He was rapping so fast. I don't know what the hell he was saying, but it flowed, and it sounded good. Yeah, and then we did it. Essentially, that was on like a Thursday night or something. Then we went to Paris for the semifinal, I think, and then we were back in Biarritz the next week, and we did it again for my 30th birthday. And like Luca and Lisa came again. They brought me like a little birthday gift. Suzanne came again. We met some new people, a guy from New Zealand, a guy from Chicago, where you'll be running that marathon.
Chicago.
And they invited friends, dude, and there was like 13 of us on my birthday, on my 30th birthday. It was nice. It was so lovely. We made fish tacos. So
lovely to have a little party.
Yeah.
With a bunch of new friends. Yeah, I love meeting new people.
Yeah, dude, I know you do. You're such a little socialite. Yeah, so those are two definite highlights from the trip. Also, just playing a bunch of tennis with Marnus. I just absolutely creamed him every single time we played, but it was cool. Playing on clay was sick.
Dude, what makes Marnus such a good friend is he's so down to like do things, but he's just so beatable in most things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He always wants to play, and he's good. Like he gives a good amount of competition, but he's just slightly worse at like pretty much everything, which is, you know, it's very nice.
Yeah, it's nice. It's great. Buddy, I do have to go and start helping out preparing for dinner and eating dinner. There's a lovely carrot ginger soup on deck this evening.
I want to leave off with kind of another, just one last little sentiment from the trip. So when we were on the trip, we were standing at the cliff jumping spot in the Kalonk National Park, Kalonk. And we kind of just said, if you had to title a book, what would your book be? And Mark's was Living with Big Nuts and Coming to Grips with God, what was it? Coming to Grips with Nuts?
I think was living with huge nuts, like coming to grips.
Living with huge nuts is a tale of coming to grips with your past and your future. But mine, and I've actually reflected on this recently. That's the real reason I brought it up. The nuts thing was a nice little cherry. But, the one I wrote is stealing from yourself, the personal moments. Like, and I've been reflecting on that a lot. Especially like with me, it's like I know exactly what I need to do to unlock my best self. I know. Yeah. I'm like, if I just make this one decision now and then like again tomorrow and again tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's like, I know exactly the blueprint.
Yeah.
But yet sometimes I'm still just unable.
Yeah, dude. Why is that?
These are the moments, man. I'm stealing from myself.
Yeah.
For the smallest little, honestly. I can't even talk. The smallest little satisfaction. I'm robbing, like, I'm taking the fucking 2x4 out of the foundation of the house to go build a birdhouse. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. And I'm really working these days on
being
aware of it and just, like, having that right self-talk and just taking care of myself. I've made some really good moves in the last month. I'm in a really good spot in life. Like
momentum.
I'm coming from a good spot, but I'm in a great spot.
And dude, that's nice.
I'm honing in on the last few little,
like, yeah, you're fine tuning
beacons of improvement that I want to take on. And I just like they're so in my scope. The crosshair is firmly on them. I just need to pull the trigger. And not pulling it is stealing from yourself.
Dude, I love that, dude. That's so good that you're aware of that. Cause dude, if you don't, no one's gonna like do that shit for you. Like that's just like something nobody you else have to cares. Do yourself. Nobody cares. Cares. And like but you can't lie to yourself. Like you can put up this facade and like everyone on the exterior might be like, oh, da-da, but you know. Like you can't lie to yourself. And that's really good. That's commendable, dude. I love that. One thing that I was telling myself when I moved into my one bedroom, when I moved out from me and Ryan's place, I was like, okay, like you're living on your own now. Like you don't have like an accountable roommate or something. Like you could do whatever you want. So one thing I wrote on my whiteboard and I tried to always remind myself of was live your life. Like your future wife can just like turn on her TV and just like flip to a channel and like see what you're doing, you know? Like don't just like get home from work and like scroll on your phone or just like, you know, like live a compelling life. Like your future wife can just kind of like see what you're up to.
Oh, I like that. Live a compelling life. That's a great quote.
Yeah. Make it compelling, dude. because that's how you gotta, that's how you level up and get yourself ready to get a nice future wife, you know?
Totally. Wow. Yeah. That's what kickstarts the mo. That's what sets you down the journey. And before you know it, you never maybe set out to meet the future wife, but
no, but if you set if you build your life up, you can like, and it's in a really good spot, you can meet some pretty special people and it feels like right, you know?
Dude, totally. Like, think of the type of people you want to attract.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like real, recognize real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, let's, I like to finishing this episode on some nice insight. It's not all bullshit with us. We do actually have some level of introspection, but, we also have some level of sponsors. So it's a fiduciary responsibility to bring them up. And first off, I want to shout out our guest. It could have been our guest tonight, Emil Roy Foster and, the Pelican Seafood Market and Grill. Dude, he just turned 30.
We're all turning 30.
He was probably schlepping a freaking trout out the the window.
He was probably just beating a trout.
Seriously, though, if you're in Ottawa, especially in the Alta Vista area, is that correct, Mark?
Yes, it is correct. Yeah.
If you're in the Alta Vista area of Ottawa, the best seafood restaurant and one of the best restaurants you can go to is the Pelican Seafood Market and Grill. Look it up. You don't take my word for it. I'm pretty sure like a 4.8 out of 5 on Google. That's pretty fucking high. Okay. So look that shit up.
Yeah.
We're also sponsored by Esther Yell, mortgage broker. If you are needing a mortgage and you want someone to take care of you, who is literally like motherly and will help you walk through.
She'll fix your cramps.
I had a buddy who did call her. And they just had a baby. Like, she helped them get this house. She just went and visited them. She's buying like clothes for their baby. Like, she's just such a mother through and through. She's just out there to help people set up their lives. Like, she's not in it to make money. She's just fucking around.
Dude, you know who's also a sponsor? And this is going to be a plug too. True North Property Management does sponsor this podcast. And dude, I did something. I've done something quite nice actually over the past month. Slow season in Whistler is November, you know, like you can't bike, you can't
shoulder
slow season, but coincidentally, so obviously nightly rentals, you don't get a lot of revenue, makes sense, but it's also the time of year that a lot of people move to Whistler to like do a ski season or to do a 2-year visa, you know, and you know, Whistler housing in Whistler is really hard to secure and find and all that. And what I've done this year is I've done like 30 night minimum stays at like a, you know, like a lower rate, but you know, still like, it's still cash in my clients' pockets. It's honestly more, it's probably going to net more than if we did like nightly rentals at that low occupancy.
It's max fill, like you're
full. Yeah, it's not exactly. So that's cool. And then also I'm kind of, I'm providing like a launch pad for a lot of people who are moving to Whistler to start like a little Whistler life. And they're, I've gone and met them all and they're super nice, kind folks. And yeah, it's kind of cool. It's like, it feels like a little way that I'm able to like give back to the like Whistler community while like still putting my clients like needs and keeping in mind, you know, it's good. I'm happy with it.
So you heard it here first, folks. If you have a property in the Whistler area, Mark will ensure maximum throughput.
Yeah. Throughput. I love throughput. That's awesome. And then, throughput. We love throughput. And then any other Nuka saunas, go get yourself a sauna, folks.
I've been wanting a sauna.
If you don't want a sauna,
I want Chris to come with it though, you know.
Yeah.
Like, how do I buy him?
You can't buy him, dude.
That's illegal, but I'm
working on it. He's an enigma. Oh dude, actually, and last sponsor, y'all should go check out Ryan Harris music, dude. I finished the France trip and I went to LA and saw him play at the Troubadour. He opened for O.C. Elliott at the Troubadour. You know the Troubadour, my boy?
No, I didn't even know he was in LA.
Like Tom Petty, like friggin' all, anyone who has anything to do with like music in the like 80s, 70s even. Like they all cut their teeth at the Troubadour. Like the Eagles, bro.
Dude, Jackson Brown. What the fuck, eh? Ryan Harris is just.
Dude, he's on a roll, buddy. Yeah, he's crushing. He's probably going to sell out some pretty real venues in 2024.
I can't think of a guy who really like. That guy's got it all because he's talented.
Yeah.
But he's a storyteller, man.
Yeah.
I think the common thread of all his adventures is there's some story to tell.
Bro,
he's good at weaving.
He's a weaver. He's a dream weaver. Dude, before I let you go, in between his songs, his banter with the crowd and the audience was so good. Dude, he was like a stand-up comedian, man. It was hilarious. It was so funny. He was like going on. He was like, oh yeah, like it was so cool playing at the Troubadour. I'm on tour here with OC and Elliot. They're actually closing for me. Like he'd like say shit like that. Like it was really funny. And he also wrote a song about the Fitz, which was pretty sick, and a couple shout outs for his like friends and family. It was cool. It was dope.
That's super dope.
Yeah, it's so fucking dope.
bless you, Ryan Harris.
Yeah.
Bless
okay. you. All right. Who are you gonna call to catch up with?
I'm gonna call Justin Tinibe, old high school friend, kind of looks like me, and a really good friend. He's a pilot.
Dude, that's sick. I'm gonna call I'll call Malcolm McKenzie. I honestly love talking to Malcolm. I'll give him a ring.
I guess that's a wrap.
Okay, I love you, buddy. Good shout. Emil, we love you too. Sorry we missed you.
I love you, Emil. Yeah. Mucho gu. Ciao.
A-chapete.
There's a way the grass smells on a summer night when it's freshly cut, the moisture's right. It's nights like these in the August heat, I think the devil's just another boy I can beat. You bring heaven down to me, coursing through my blood as I breathe. I bet the angels are jealous of a girl I know. She takes my stain and makes me white as snow. White as snow. You bring heaven down to me, coursing through my blood I breathe. I bet the angels are jealous of a girl I know. She takes my stain and makes me white as snow. White as snow.